you didn't know, I have a really, really, really deep passion for this. Okay? It's a book. I regard it as the book. It is everything. This thing saved my life. It saved my church, my marriage, my ministry. It saved everything. It'll save you. And it would save America if America would just open it and read it. Amen? Okay? So I'm pretty picky about certain things. But I try not to judge people. And I'm going to say some things tonight that all I'm asking you to do is think. I come down here, this is now I think my fourth year. Brother Howard and Brother Tim and these guys have asked me to come down. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of my favorite places to come to. I love this conference and I love the people up here. And I just praise the Lord for it all the time. But I just made a promise to God that I would speak on certain things everywhere I go. And that keeps me from going some places because they don't want me to say it anymore. And again, I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm not trying to be mean. But I think there's some really, really cool things going on in this world. In spite of all of the bad things that we're talking about, there are some really, really neat things. Knowledge is being increased. And there are things that we can find out now that nobody in history has ever been able to find out before. I mean, think about this. The Bereans, what do we know about them from the scriptures? They were more noble than everybody else. And what they did was they heard what the apostles said. And the Bible says they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were true or not. Now, think about how difficult that was 2,000 years ago. When the best that you would have had, maybe a scroll of some kind or maybe a compilation of papyrus or whatever it was in this big massive thing, and you're trying to read through this one page at a time, one sentence at a time, to try to find out from the scriptures if what the apostles were saying about Jesus is true. Most everybody here has a smartphone. On your smartphone, you can install a Bible program that will search things out. We had a lady write some Bible search software specifically for our church and ministry. It is awesome. PureBibleSearch.com. I'm not selling it. It's free of charge. And if you don't like it and you want to change the code on it, you're welcome to it. It's GNU public license. You can rewrite the whole thing if you want to. But what I realized was we've been distributing Bibles all across the world and not have to pay for any of them. It's all electronic. What I'm telling you is that you, sitting at your computer or your tablet or your phone, you can be a Berean and you can search things out probably in less than 5 minutes what it may have taken them 5 months to find out. There is zero. And I'm glad Brother Tim asked how many pastors are here. And we see this every year. Almost none show up. Almost none show up to these meetings. And how many churches are there in this area, Brother Howard? 170, 180 churches in this area and two or three pastors from the whole area. And I've had to come all the way from Missouri to come up here. The problem is no one cares about what's in the Word of God anymore. They want the experiences, Brother Carl. They want the ecstasy. They want the ritual. They want the eye candy. They want all of that and the coffee. But they don't want the Word of God. And I say that there's some good things in this book that have been there for years. And we haven't even begun to search and see what's in this Bible. Can I hear God? Can you give the Word of God a hand tonight? Amen. So I saw this several years ago. In fact, a friend of mine kind of put me onto this years ago, Dr. Carl Thurston. He was an ER physician from Ohio, and he put me onto this verse, Psalm 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I explained a little bit about it today. The book, of course, is the book of DNA. So let me show you what that looks like. In thy book all my members were written. You see pictures of them up there. Finger members, elbow members, armpit members. Every part of your body has a purpose, including this one. Okay? The lips have a purpose. Your toes, whether they're nice looking or ugly looking, your eyes, every part of you has a purpose. And everybody sitting here, if you're a member of the body of Christ, doesn't matter how good looking or how ugly you are, or whether you think you can do this or do that. You have a purpose and a role in the kingdom of God. You have a purpose in the body of Christ. And God made you. He wrote you out to be exactly who you are. So here we have a book, David describing this 3,000 years ago. Watson and Crick won a Nobel Prize in the 50s for discovering the little twist and the turns of DNA and how it was linked together and everything like that. Most everything that we know about DNA is 50 years old. The majority of that, of what we know about DNA as of this date, is probably 10 years or less. And the amount of information that we are learning about DNA in this world is growing on a geometric scale. We are learning more and more and more. And what surprised the scientists was how complex and how ordered it was. And let me give you a verse. God is not the author of... An author does what? Writes books. And God wrote this one. I'll wait till it goes around the room like the wave. I don't care. God wrote this one. God wrote this one. Amen. All right. Here's another way of looking at it. In thy book, all my members were written. Because as the members of my body are different, so were the writers of the scripture. Think of Moses, Charlton Heston. Okay? Think of Elijah. Think of John the Baptist. Think of Paul. Think of John. Think of David. All of these men were different and unique, and yet God used their uniqueness and their differences to write His book. Here's another way of looking at it. In thy book, this is how David described it now. In thy book, think of a family. And what do we call people in our family? Members. These are members of my family. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned. There's the embryo growing from what was just a cell, and then two cells, and then four, and eight, 16, 32, and 128, and so on. And then it grows, and then it starts differentiating the cells. This group of cells kind of goes this way a little bit and starts forming blood. And this group of cells over here, after a while, start forming skin and heart tissue and saliva and brain and everything else that's in our body. It starts differentiating when as yet there was none of them. I like this example as well. In thy book, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, all my members were written. We got members. You're from Africa, aren't you? My daughter told me that. Zambia. Are there Christians in Africa? Amen. There's even a couple in Canada. I make fun of you Canadians. You guys are okay, all right? All my members were written. Doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what blood type they have. God made them to be members of the body, which in continuance was fashioned because, praise God, there are still people being saved. When as yet there was none of them. Because what do we know about salvation and how far back did God know that you were going to come to the Lord and be saved? How far back? The Bible says before the foundation of the world, you were already written in the book when as yet there was none of them. So you see how it's all connected together, like the Bible and DNA. You see how it's all connected. They're all just like one and the same thing. So that's kind of what I'm going to explain tonight. In 1 Kings, Solomon put what he called the oracle. That was a written copy of the law, the testimony, the word of God, the Bible that he had. When he built the temple, he went into verse 19 of 1 Kings 6, the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And so what he did was precisely what Moses did. God told Moses, take the book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now, what I'm explaining to you tonight is that whatever whatever we see God do with His Word in the Scriptures, like here's Moses, and he has the written out copy of the Word of God, and God said, put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and then put it in the most holy place of the temple. Don't put it anywhere else, put it right in there. What I'm showing you tonight is what God told Moses to do with the written Word, or Solomon, or what Jesus tells us to do with it, is exactly identical the same as how your DNA works, and where it is, and what it does, and how it's made. These two books, my DNA and my Bible, are written by the same author, published in the same way, placed in the same place, and they do the exact same thing in both my flesh body and in the body of Christ. So watch this. Here is the wilderness tabernacle. I want you to notice that it has a gate around it, a fence, okay? That keeps all the stuff that's not supposed to be in there out, and all the stuff that is supposed to be in there on the inside. It has a sanctuary. There's the holy place, and then the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was. That is an exact replica of nearly every cell in your body. Nearly, and there's a few exceptions like red blood cells and so on, but nearly every cell in your body look exactly like the wilderness tabernacle. So when the Bible's trying to tell you that you are the temple of God, that's not just some spiritual talk. Wow, that's a good thought, but it's not really real. When God says you're the temple of God, your body is the temple of God, everything about you is exactly the way God, Moses built the temple, the way Solomon built the temple, and the way Christ is going to come and build His own temple. And the one in heaven is exactly the way this temple is made as well. Do you understand that? Okay? So, here's, watch this now. God told Moses to take the book, the written book of the law, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and put it in the most holy place. Does everybody follow that? So your book of the law, your book of your DNA that determines your members, is written just like a book, and it was placed in these little things called X chromosomes. Some of us have Y chromosomes. Do you know who does? Women have all X chromosomes. Men are what's different. We have Y chromosomes. You know what the difference, you know why? Because men are always going, why? Honey, let's do this. And we go, why? Some of you guys are going, I'm not amen in that. Why? Okay. So it makes us a little different. But you see what I'm saying? The most holy place in my cell is a place called the cell nucleus. And inside the cell nucleus resides 46 of those little X's inside of there. And in every one of those X chromosomes is the DNA, the genetic code that makes up my body. So when I say that you are, when God says you are the temple, He means literally every cell and every part of your body is an exact replica of what Moses built, what Solomon built, what Herod built, what Jesus is going to build, and what's in heaven. He means exactly what He says. Now, Jeremiah 36:2, He calls it a roll of a book. Because what is it we know about DNA? How does it look? It's a double helix. It's a book. And it's a rolled up book. And I don't have time to get into what happens when it's unrolled and how all that works, because it's pretty nice. I have a video back here called Jesus Christ DNA in the Holy Bible. If you have not seen it, get a copy of it. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Okay? So I'm leaving some of this stuff out because I want to get to where I'm going to tonight. All right? So anyway, you understand that. It's a roll of a book placed into your most holy place in the cell nucleus. And then he said, thou shalt make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits. And isn't it interesting? God said exactly how big the ark was supposed to be. He said 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits shall be the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits shall be the height thereof. So lengthways, it's 2.5 cubits. And then the height of it is 1.5 cubits. And then the two back sides there are both 1.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits. So what I did was, I wrote all this down. It took me forever to keep track of it. Okay? So you don't have to know this for a test or anything like that, okay? But what I did was I just made this little image here and I pointed to all the dimensions that exist in the Ark of the Covenant that God told Moses to make. Now here's what is really, 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 really cool. Okay? I added them up. The number that I got was 22. Now, if that number doesn't jump out at you yet, turn to Psalm 119. Okay, go ahead and turn there because we're going to look at something there in just a little bit. All right. So the dimensions of the ark, when you add them all together, you get the number 22. If I were to just tell you the number 22 is the number for Revelation, you can look in Genesis 22. Do you know what you'll see? You'll see the revelation of Jesus Christ being offered up as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Okay, how many chapters does the book of Revelation have? 22. How many books does the Bible have? Which is a multiple of, I was going to say 3, but 22 is still good, okay? Anyway, so you get the idea, all right? Now watch this. We call it DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. It's packaged in 46 chromosomes, placed inside the nucleus, which is our most holy place. And it's seen in when Moses built the tabernacle, God said on the north side, put 20 boards, on the south side, put 20 boards, and on the back, put 6. That's 46 boards. So in a building made with 46 boards sits the book of the law that Moses wrote. Does everybody think that's cool? In the temple that Solomon built, he put 2 pillars in the front of it. The one on this side was 23 cubits tall. The one on this side was 23 cubits tall. It's 46. Remember when Jesus told the guys that were there showing him the buildings of the temple? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. You know what they said to Jesus? The exact words. 46 years was this building in the making. 46 years exactly it took them to build that temple. And he said he would destroy it and rebuild it in 3 days. But then it follows up by saying, they wist not that he spoke of the temple of his body. Your body is the temple of God. There are rules about the temple, right? We're not supposed to do what to it? Defile it. Not supposed to defile the temple of God. How can that be? I'll try to explain some of that as we move along. Here's what we know about DNA. DNA is rolled up in a helix form. It's twisted, rolled up like a scroll. When it's unrolled, it looks like a what? Okay. Can you think of a story in the Bible that had a ladder in it? Okay. And you remember, everybody's going, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Okay. And what did Jacob see? He saw the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Who did Jesus say that ladder was? It was him. He said, you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus and your DNA and this book, they're one and the same. You don't believe that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Could I change that verse? Would it be okay if I changed John chapter 1, verse 1? What if I just wanted to add, I don't know, a letter? No? See, I'm setting you up. Okay? I'm setting you up. I will always tell you when I'm setting you up, and boy, am I ever setting you up. Okay? So anyway, the 2 spines of that ladder are made of 2 substances, sugar and phosphate. Okay? We all know what sugar is, right? Phosphate. Does anybody know what phosphate is? Phosphorus. What do they put dip bullets in? They're going to shoot them at night so they know where they're shooting. Those are tracer bullets. They're dipped in phosphorus because when you shoot them, they do what? They light up. Phosphorus means light bearer. So you have the book that God wrote and put in your tabernacle is made of both sugar and light. Think about it. I want you to think about that. Then it's joined together by four compounds. Everybody say, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. We'll work on that later. Four bases. Adenine, you can say A, G, C, T. You can just use the initials because that's what a lot of people do. Okay, I didn't know. They told me all this stuff in high school and college, and I just went. And then when I started thinking about DNA and how it was a book, and then I started thinking about my Bible, then all of a sudden stuff started making sense. Okay, so let me show you this very quickly. There are rules when it comes to these four bases, A, T, and C and G, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. There's rules. And really, when you hear them talk about your genetic code or certain genes that you have, some of you have genes that give you blonde hair, some of you have genes that give you black hair, some of you have genes that make you 6'3", some have genes that make you 5'5", or whatever it is. You have a little bit different instruction set than somebody sitting next to you. And when you hear them talking about genes, it's because the genetic scientists, after Watson and Crick realized that it was a double helix, twisted up, joined together by four base pairs, once they realized that, then they started seeing the order of it, and they realized that they were not just looking at like a big pile of dice in a big pool somewhere that was just randomly pulling instructions out. They noticed that it actually had a very specific order to it. In fact, what they found out was they would read a genetic string, a genetic code, and then they kept seeing this same set of base pairs, like A and C and G on this side. They kept seeing the same thing over and over again. And what they realized was that after a certain genetic code was done for whatever it was supposed to do, there would be a period at the end of that sentence. And then it would tell them that the next paragraph starts. Then they were reading this set of instructions, and then the same period and new paragraph marker was there. And then they would read the next. So what they figured out was that DNA was exactly what David said it was 3,000 years ago. It was a book. And it actually was bound by a book, like a book, written, laid out like a book, published like a book, in that it had periods at the end of genetic sequences and paragraph markers to show you when the next set of genes starts. So what evolution wants you to believe was that the nothing threw a typewriter out into a field, laid 3 billion pieces of paper next to it, and they want you to think that it accidentally printed out a book that makes you what you are. There isn't a single computer in the world that operates on its own code that it wrote. It just woke up one day and wrote its operating system. Bill Gates is one of the wealthiest men in the world. The reason being, he owns the copyright to what is on most computers on this planet. And what happens if you try to steal Bill Gates' precious little code? He doesn't like that, does he? I'm setting you up, by the way. Okay? So that's what they figured out. They figured out that the combinations of this A and this T here and this C and this G here, when they would see a run of it, they would say, well, that's a code that codes for brown hair. Here's a code that codes for the color of the eyes or the color of the skin or whatever it is. Some people have this in their liver. Some people have that in their blood. And this is how it codes. There's a difference between dog DNA and human DNA, right? There's a difference between chimpanzee DNA and human DNA. 3% is all it is. 3%. But chimpanzees cannot do what we can do. Follow me? Okay? So that's how they figured that out. Think of it like this. What is this? Anybody know? That's Morse code. Okay? And Morse code is actually very simple. It is a dot and a dash. And it's the sequence of dots and dashes that the old Morse code people, guys in the Navy, guys in the Air Force or whatever, Army, still, I guess people still learn Morse code. I think they still use it. Computer code, by the way, is almost identical to that in that my computer here is operating on a set of internal switches that is either on or off. Does everybody understand that? It's called binary. It's represented by zeros and ones, and a switch is either on or off, and that's how they used to program the ENIAC, you know, the four-story building computer. And these guys had the lab coats and they had the clipboard and they were flipping electric switches to teach this machine how to add 2 plus 2. So now they've got it down technologically to a chip about this big that's in your phone. That what you carry in your phone is 100 times more advanced than the computer that sent those guys to the moon in 1969. Okay? And it's all simple zeros and ones. Just like Morse code, dots and dash, just like DNA, it's either this combination or this combination. And it's that simple. But those combinations make up the word. So let me explain it to you like this, okay? Let's say that you see up here, on the right here, you see the letter A, and then underneath it, the letter C and the letter T. So that's adenine, cytosine, and thymine. So three of those together, and I'm not going to bore you with all this, but three of those little pairs together in this order, let's say that it would make this particular amino acid. And I will give you $100 cash if you can tell me what that amino acid is. Because I forgot. I forgot to write it down in my notes. So I have no idea because I don't read amino acid. I don't read Chinese. I don't read Japanese. I don't read Hebrew. Read a little Greek, but I do not read amino acids. So I'll make it easier for you. So let's say then that this little set of instructions, the A and the C and the T together, make the letter B. See how simple that is? So the scientists are reading and they see, well, A, C, and T make the letter B. So then they look at the next three in the sequence. And because they already know what each one of those are, they say, okay, the next three, okay, that's the letter I. And then they see ACT again. So, well, there's another B. And then they see another one. And, you know, it's like G, C, and C. Well, that's an L. And then underneath that would be a letter E. What'd I spell? B-I-B-L-E. That's oh, you guys never lived unless you sang that song on a bus going to church. Amen? Okay? That's how it is. They read it just like a book because that's what it is. And who wrote it? Let me ask you this. Does God have a copyright law? I'm setting you up. Incidentally, these amino acids here, it's exactly 22 of them. They're exactly, in Psalm 119, you can find this, they're exactly 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet that God dictated out the words of Moses' law, and he wrote it all down in 22 letters and put it in the most holy place, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the sanctuary of the wilderness tabernacle. And that is exactly what you have in nearly every cell of your body. How did David know that God wrote a book that made all of his members out of nothing? Except by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe that? Say amen. So that is that. Any questions? Chris Pinnell will answer all your questions at the end of the speech tonight. Okay? Let's get back to this structure here because this is really cool. Remember, it's made of sugar. The backbone is made of sugar phosphate. They're joined together by hydrogen bonds. By the way, hydrogen is an element. Does anybody know what element it is? It's one. So you know what that means? It has one electron, one neutron, and one proton. Okay? What? It doesn't have a neutron? Man, am I going to have to do my homework again. Okay? Anyway, back to what I was saying, thanks a lot. Sugar and phosphate. That's what the book is made of. It's made of sugar and life. So here's what David said. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. And he said, the entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. Remember when the angel gave John the book and he told him to eat it and he did? What did it taste like? Sweet. Remember when Ezekiel was given a roll of a book and he was told to eat it and it tasted how? Sweet. Remember when the Israelites were given manna and when they tasted it, what did it taste like? Sweeter than honey. Your Bible in your body is sweet. It's a sweet, it's made of sugar, and it's made of light. Revelation 10, it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. Let's move on. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's because it's made, your DNA is made of phosphorus. Now here we go. This is what I like. What I did one day is I looked up every occurrence of the word book in my Bible. Okay? I liked it. I just like doing word studies in the Bible. This is being a Berean. Let's find out what the Bible says about a certain subject. So I looked up every occurrence of the word book. The first occurrence of the word book in your Bible is in Genesis chapter 5. And it says, this is the book of the generations. The word gene is in the word generations. And is that applicable to that verse? Yes, because what it does in Genesis 5 is that it tells you that Adam didn't just die off. He created an offspring that was a genetic recipient of his genetic book. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So it goes from Adam to Seth. And by the way, Adam was not married to some guy named Phil. I'm setting you up. We're going to have fun and then we're going to get serious. Okay? So anyway, Adam and Eve. So they had Seth and then Enos. Then it goes all the way down. You were there in Adam. Do you know that? Levi was in Abraham, and the Bible said that Levi paid tithes while he was in Abraham's bowels to Melchizedek. Levi was in Abraham. You and I were in Adam on that day. We are Adam. The first Adam. There's another Adam. Amen? So, watch this now. This is just cool. This is a fact. You do whatever you want to with the fact. Bible says in Genesis 5 that Adam, this is the book of the generations of Adam, as an Adam, all die, and so in Christ, Adam lived 930 years. So just on a whim, I decided to count to the 930th chapter of the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 1, and it starts out with, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, shall all be. Can you live forever by following the commandments of the Old Testament law? It's never designed that way. That's why Eve was tempted, and she failed. Jesus now in the New Testament was tempted same way, and he succeeded. If you're in Christ, you're a winner. Amen. I love this stuff. Anyway, that's a fact. You can count it yourself. What you do with the fact is your business. All right. So here's the base pairs again. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Remember what we talked about earlier. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That three of them are the same and one's different. It's the same way with these base pairs. I don't have time to explain it. But adenine, guanine, and cytosine are similar in what they do. Thymine is the one that's different. That's like the book of John. And so what we see here is, let's say that this rung represents, we have the two rungs of your DNA book. This rung represents the Old Testament. This rung represents the New Testament. And what this put together means that we have passed from death, the old Adam, the old self, the first birth, into eternal life, the second Adam, being born again of incorruptible seed and life eternal. We're never going to die once we get to heaven. Amen? Never going to happen. And that's the whole of the Bible. It connects the old to the new. And how does it do it? With four things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because what's the story of those four books? The life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though each one of those gospel stories has little differences in them, all four of them talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they actually speak of it like it's really true, like it really happened. And that's why I believe it's true. Amen? Okay, because the Bible tells me so. So now watch this. I'm going to show you how you and I got here. It's Evangelism 101. Okay? So Adam made a son in his likeness and in his image. So Enos, when he was born, they all said, man, you look like your daddy. Right? Because he received of his father's image and likeness. I look like my dad. I look like my mom. My mom is like 5'5". My dad was 6'7". So I'm like in the middle between the two. Okay? So, but I look like my dad. You look like your father. You look like your father. So on and so on and so on. That's how it works. By the way, that's how cells work. Because when you have a cell in your body, that old cell, cells in your body don't live forever, do they? They die. But what do they do before they die? They duplicate themselves. It's called cell mitosis. So the cell, before it dies, does exactly what Adam did. It takes itself, and then what it does, it takes the DNA, and I'll give you this a little bit. It unrolls the scroll. It rightly divides it right down the middle between the two rungs, and it takes a copy of it, puts it over in the new cell. So now both cells have the exact same DNA. What happens if from this cell to that cell, the DNA doesn't get transcribed correctly? It's called cancer. And I just lost a man out of my church this week because some of his cells didn't transfer the DNA correctly. And it took over his whole body and killed him. Remember what Paul said about the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus? They doth eat as a canker. Did you know evil communications can corrupt good manners? Chris has been trying to teach you. Carl's been talking about it. About the influences of the world. The influence of the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church hates this book. Go watch Lamp in the Darkness. He'll show you. They tried everything they could to keep this book from being translated. Didn't work. Because you cannot stop this book from doing what it does. You understand that? Okay? So anyway, that's how it's supposed to work. So the old cell, before it dies off, makes a new cell. Now there's two cells exactly identical. Watch this. So here's the Apostle Paul. And he's writing the words. He's a holy man of God. And he is writing as the Holy Ghost gives him the exact words. So he writes them down on paper. And then Paul goes to Mars Hill. And he's preaching that doctrine. He goes over here to Ephesus. And he's preaching that doctrine. And he starts a church in Ephesus. And that church is supposed to be exactly like what is written in the book. Everybody follow me so far. And Paul warned. He warned them in Ephesus. He warned Timothy about it. He warned the Corinthians. He warned the Galatians. You have bewitched you with this strange doctrine that you have to keep the law. He warned everybody he could. Watch out for people coming in with words that are different than this. Did he not? Are we not warned here by Jude that certain men would creep in unaware and try to destroy this faith? Were we not taught that? Why then are so many churches not paying attention? Because we now have false doctrines, false teachings, false Bibles everywhere. If, see back there, see that guy back there on my camera? See that guy back there? Look back there. See that guy back there? If I were to tell you, that's my twin brother. It's funny, isn't it? Because you're looking at him going, well, he's not fat. Isn't it obvious that he and I had different fathers and mothers? See, there's a difference, right? There's some people, some churches, that want to claim they're Christian. They want to claim that they're our brethren. But you see their fruit, and you're an apple tree, and their fruit is raspberries. And you're going, we're not the same. How did Jesus tell us we would judge? How we would know? By their fruit, okay? Let me move on a little bit. Let me get to the core of this, okay? Oh, I like this. When the rules are that only adenine can connect to thymine. That's so when it splits off and you've got adenine on this part, the new cell, when it's going to make the other half of the DNA, when it sees thymine here, it knows that it has to be adenine over here. It's just like saying, well, these two are married. So if you see me and I tell you that I'm married, you know that I'm not with some other guy. Because that's not what marriage is. Not according to the Word of God. Can I get somebody? See, us Southerners think we're more conservative than you liberal Northerners. So you're going to have to help me out here, all right? Amen. Oh, come on. So watch this. Seek ye out the what? Book of the Lord. And read, no one of these shall fail. None shall want what? Her mate. So when you don't have to go to Bible college to know and understand the Bible, do you? You know what you do? Read a little Old Testament. You know what you do after that? Read a little New Testament. You know what you see? They start connecting together. You start seeing the types and the shadows. You see a rock following Israel in the wilderness. And then Paul tells you who that rock was. That rock was Christ. Amen. You know why? They're mated together. Watch this. When I see the blood, this is Exodus, Old Testament. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The New Testament, for Christ is our Passover. You see those two ideas? They're mated together. None shall want her mate. They're mated together. Here's another one. I like this. David said, he's looking at Goliath, and he said, I slew the lion and the bear. And then what did John see come up out of the sea? A beast with seven heads, 10 horns that looked like a lion and a... They're mated together. Now, do you understand who Goliath represents in that story? He's the beast. He's got sixes all over him. Guess who David is? He's wearing a shepherd's bag, if that's a clue. Do you see it now? Don't you think those two belong together? Sure they do. They're mated together. Okay, here's another one. Watch this. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She, not he, shall be called woman, not my man. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and father. No, it doesn't say that. Shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they, not his soulmate, not his live-in partner. Not his shack up, his wife. They two shall be, and they shall be one flesh. By the way, I'm just going to give you a fact. You can do whatever you want to with it. In this verse, the words that I have underlined in this verse, I counted them. It's exactly 46 of these words. How many chromosomes do you have in every cell in your body? Which is where the book of your DNA, the seed, is stored. Because watch this. When Adam cleaved to Eve, he contributed 23 chromosomes. She contributed 23 chromosomes in her egg. When they joined together at that moment of conception, now that one flesh baby has 46 chromosomes, half from dad, half from mom. That's the way God designed it. You follow me? Does anybody here think we have a right to alter that? You're in the minority. The lady that wrote our Bible search software sent me this today. She said, Pastor, you got to see this. It's a book called Mitochondrial Replacement Technologies. In your cell, there's a little altar called the mitochondria. That's where the sugar is burnt. Like the sacrifices, the altar, that's where it's burnt. Okay? Connected to your mitochondria is a section of DNA called mitochondrial DNA. This is really cool because there's two places in the cell where your book is stored. The whole of the book is in the cell nucleus in the most holy place. But there's another copy, a partial copy, that is out in the outer area of the cell. Because it is like the blueprints of what all the parts of the cell are supposed to do. Who in here works in a place where you have an instruction manual of how you're supposed to do your job? Was anybody in the military? Okay. You have a whole Fort Knox full of them to tell you how to do everything that's related to your job. Well, that's what mitochondrial DNA is. And mitochondria DNA only comes from your mother. It never comes from your father. Every human being in this room has mitochondrial DNA from their mother, but not their dad, which means you have Eve's exact mitochondria DNA in your cell. You got it from your mother. She got it from her mother. Your dad got it from his mother. And so on. It goes all the way back to Eve. Does everybody understand that so far? Listen to what this new protocol calls for. Mitochondrial replacement techniques are designed to prevent the transmission of mitochondrial DNA diseases. Now, I want you to think of what sin is. Sin is leprosy. Sin is a disease that you and I have, and it's incurable. Am I right? Okay? You're going to die of the sin or the disease of sin. So think of what alters that for you. It's the gospel. Now, this goes away, and you will live forever, even though you had a disease called sin. So another gospel coming into this world right now is, let's change whatever is in this body that makes it die so it doesn't die anymore. You asked Brother Carl back here about Ray Kurzweil and how bad he wants to stay alive. Okay? You'll understand it. So watch this. Diseases from mother to child. While MRTs, if effective, could satisfy a desire of women seeking to have a genetically related child without the risk of passing on mitochondrial DNA disease, the technique raises significant ethical and social issues. It would create offspring who have genetic material from two women. God said, the man shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That was God's blueprint. That was God's book. And he owns a copyright to it. And he says, don't change it. So now we are looking at, and by the way, the article goes on to say, once this is carried out, this genetic manipulation is not reversible. Once these little children are born this way, they stay this way. You know what that means? No chance of change whatsoever. That's somebody who has been turned over. That's not a human. Not according to God's word. And he wrote what humans are. These people will not be human. They will have no salvation offered to them. You following me? Because now we're getting the serious stuff out. Okay? So think of words like this. When you read your Bible, whenever you see the phrase word of God, whenever you see the word book, whenever you see the word seed, remember the parable of the seed and the sower? The seed is what? The word. You see, they didn't know that inside, let's say, a kernel of corn, nobody knew 2,000 years ago when Jesus taught this parable that inside that kernel was a book of DNA. No one knew that. But they all knew that if you put seed in the ground, something comes up, right? They all knew that what came up also bore seed so that you could take that and replant it and get some more up, right? They didn't know that what happens between a man and a woman. I mean, they understood a little bit about it, but they didn't know that some books were put together. 23 from her, 23 from him, and it wrote out a book for a brand new. They didn't know that, but it was all there in the Word of God all this time. You see why I'm saying? Let's get back our Bibles out and let's keep reading them because there's stuff in there that's been there all along that when we see what's going on in the world, we're going, like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Somebody say amen. Now here's another one. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. I already covered that. Here's another one. But the word of God grew and multiplied. See what happens? That's to make disciples be born again into this world. Nobody. It just happens. Amen. Who is it that is making everybody make babies in the world? Nobody! It's just something that we want to do. Amen? Because that's what the Word of God does. It grows and multiplies. And I still don't believe God's done saving souls. So we're having a prophecy conference. We're talking about, are we in the last days? We're not there yet. Amen? You know what it takes? Just give somebody a little bit of seed from the Word of God. God will take care of the rest. Do you believe that? Paul did. And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied. Look at this. By the way, in heaven, there's going to be an innumerable number of people surrounding the throne of Jesus Christ, how many people do you think have been, are, and will be saved? We have no idea. But I think it's going to be a big number. Not as big as the ones that are lost, but I think it's going to be huge. Because that's what it does. Now watch this. Being born again. Don't you think about that term. As in Adam, Old Testament, all die. That's you and I. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay, so Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word born again is three times in the Bible. And it all talks about being born again, born again, born again. There has to be a second birth in order for you to inherit eternal life. Ray Kurzweil has a different version of being born again. Did you know that? His version has nothing to do with this book. It has everything to do with a different book. See, the Bible calls itself Philippians 2:16, the word of life. 1 John 1:1, the word of life. And is that not what DNA is? Do rocks have DNA? They're not alive. Do roses have DNA? They're alive. Okay? Do monkeys have DNA? They're alive. Okay? Do liberals have DNA? It's the book of life, written in the book of life. Now, watch this. I told you, God has a copyright on His book. Now, I know I've kind of rushed through some things, but here we go. What I'm telling you is, what you see here is, when you get down to it, is what you see here. This and the book that made me are identical. They're one and the same. So if God wrote this book, you believe that God wrote this book. Okay? If God wrote this book, there are rules. God is the one who put the rules in the book. They weren't added later. The church didn't come up with this. God said it at the end of the book. Who in here has ever signed a contract? I had surgery in January, and I had to initial every paragraph of that contract of like 7, 8, 10 pages, and then sign the end of that contract. And once I signed that contract, it's irrevocable. It's done. That means I consented to and agreed to every word in that contract. And what it stipulated is once the doctor gets inside me and finds something that shouldn't be there, I've already authorized him to fix it. Now I'm going, okay, that's pretty cool. I won't have to pay him twice. Okay? So I like it. Does he have the right to alter the conditions or the words of that contract after I signed it? I'll sue him and I'll own him. Do I have the right to alter the conditions of that contract? No. Jesus put at the end of the Bible, Revelation, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in" what? The book. Rule number one, do not add anything to this. How many of you agree with that? I found this in my room. We are way too close to Salt Lake City here, I can tell you that. This is the Book of Mormon. It clearly says underneath the Book of Mormon, another testament of who? Jesus Christ. Now, here's a picture in here, because I don't read books, I just look at the pictures. You do too. You know you do. Here's a picture in this Book of Mormon of their Jesus in front of these who they call the ancient lost 10 tribes, who were the Indian tribes that lived in this area. And he brought them the real gospel. And then, of course, it was written on golden plates and lost. And then Joe Smith found and he put stones in his eyes and was able to translate. You all know the story, right? Okay. Is the Jesus that's depicted here on this picture in this book the same Jesus as this book? So, I mean, I figured this out the other day. You can take out the word testament, and what you have here is another Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus is the book, and the book is Jesus, right? So if this book talks about and identifies and describes a Jesus that has a gospel that says, as long as you marry inside the Mormon temple and have the holy underwear on and let them touch your private parts and bless them, and as long as you are that way when you die, you'll both be gods and have your own planet. That gospel is not this gospel. You agree with me so far? Setting you up. So, really, what everything that you and I know to be true about the Jesus that we believe in is identified how? I'm touching it. It's a clue. By the book. So this one is not this one. They added this one. Joseph Smith added the curses that are in this book to himself for all of eternity. Joseph Smith's not in heaven. Is that a shock? He's not in heaven. And neither would you be if you believed this. Follow me? Okay? Then rule number two. And if any man shall take away from the words of the what? What's that word? Book. Of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of what? See, he connected it, didn't he? So now you can clearly see that if God wrote a book, it's got a copyright on it. Which means if you're going to copy it, you better copy it right. If you're going to transcribe the word of God and give it to somebody, you better make sure that what you had is the same thing that you give to somebody else. Because if you mess it up too much, or even, let me show you this, okay? Here's Ray Kurzweil. Here's Mr. Singularity himself. This is a guy spending all of his resources and time, along with all these other people, to try to figure out how to bypass the cross of Jesus Christ so that he can live forever. So here's what he said. Kurzweil said, I still have this biological body, and it's actually a biological body with some genes that are undesirable. I've been struggling with that all my life, and I'm actually in a very good place. The reason why he said that is he wants to alter his genetic structure, and he now knows that we are on, as you guys said, we're on the brink of mankind altering his genetic structure in such a way as that he thinks that will make him live forever. Where's Joseph Smith right now? Where's Brigham Young? Okay? Did it work for them? Won't work for Ray either. So let me explain to you what CRISPR is. This is not a drawer in your refrigerator. Okay? CRISPR. And God actually helped me discern what this is. I'm going to make it very simple for you. It's 9 o'clock. Does anybody want to leave? I don't either. Okay. So I figured I'd have a little bit more time, and I want to go through this because this is very, very important. This is going to make the difference between whether you go to heaven or hell. I'm dead serious. Because Jesus just told you, don't add to the words of your book. And already, insurance companies are wanting a DNA sample from all of their insured. Why? They're looking for, as Kurzweil said, undesirable genes. Because the time will come when the insurance company will say, you have a certain genetic code that your daddy had, and he died of cancer, and your grandmother had, she died of cancer, and we know that you will die of cancer in 5 years, and it's going to cost us a fortune to keep you alive, and it won't work. So in order to remain insured, we want to fix you so that you do not die of cancer in the next 5 years. And if you want the insurance, if you want to see a doctor ever again, you will either have to have the alteration made, or you will not be able to buy or sell health care. Does it make sense? You believe that we're living in a world that's going to turn into that, let's say in the next 10 years. And that's a stretch, I think. Okay? So let me explain to you. CRISPR is something that it's been around since the 80s. This lady put it all together, and now in the last year and a half, the genetic scientists are going nuts over this thing, because what they realize is they've all wanted the ability to change the genetic structure of anything. Monsanto, they want this. Okay? Doctors want this. North Korea would love to be able to do this. Do you believe that? Do you think Kim Jong-un would hesitate for a moment at altering the genetic structure of his soldiers so it would take a lot to kill them in battle? Do you think he would hesitate for a moment? You know what I think? I think there's guys in the Pentagon that think the same way. So let me explain to you a little bit about what CRISPR is and what it does. Okay? It actually came from, they discovered this in a bacteria. They noticed that they were looking at this certain bacteria, CRISPR bacteria. Okay? And they noticed that in its, when they were looking at its genetic code, they saw a piece of code that looked exactly like a virus that they knew about. And a virus, all a virus is just a little piece of genetic code. And they were thinking, how in the world does this bacteria get in its genetic code the same DNA sequence as a virus? And what they figured out is that certain viruses only target certain bacteria. So this certain bacteria that has only, and the enemy here is the Joker. Does everybody understand that? The Joker is the bad virus. The bacteria has a picture of the Joker in its wallet, carrying it around. Because what it does, it looks for the Joker. And if this bacteria ever gets the Joker on it, the bacteria knows that that's not part of its original structure. So the bacteria then releases an enzyme called Cas9. Cas9 is a knife. And Cas9 is distributed the length of this genetic code. It finds the Joker and it slices it off. And it's gone. And now the bacteria does not have the virus anymore. So the bacteria may have a picture of the Joker and the Penguin and all the other bad guys. And when the Cas9 enzyme goes up and down the bacteria, if it finds the Joker or the Penguin or whoever, then it takes the Cas9 knife and cuts it off, and it's gone forever. And so this woman, I got to show you a picture of her because it's really funny. Her last name is Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A. She has DNA in her last name. That's her right there. Okay? She realized that the best way in the world and the easiest way and the cheapest way to edit the genetic structure of any organism in the world was to use the CRISPR-Cas9 system, because it's easy to do. It's absolutely nearly 100% perfect. It's as precise as a razor knife cutting into anything, and it's cheap. And now that the technology has, now that the water has spilled out of the bucket, can you ever put the water back in the bucket? Now that the technology is out all over the internet, who can use it? Anybody. Okay? So, they're looking for bad genes. Now watch this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So there are 3 billion genetic instructions in your DNA. How many of those are you willing to part with? You see, they don't know what all of those genes in your DNA do. They know they probably do something, but they don't know what they do. They used to call them junk DNA because they figured, well, these don't do anything. But now they're changing their mind. They're thinking, this does something. So here's what I'm asking you. If you know now that every little gene, every adenine and thymine connection in your genetic code actually does something to keep you alive, what part of that are you willing to give up? So if God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by how many words? So are you willing to give up one word out of your DNA? I wouldn't. Okay? The Word was made flesh. So what I'm saying is, the way your DNA is, who's got grandkids? Aren't they the awesomest thing in the entire universe? I love them more than anybody in the world, including my own kids. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? I would not let anybody change one thing about any of my grandkids. I would want my daughters to whip the fire out of all of them every now and then, but I don't want anything changed. So here's what I'm saying. There's companies now rising up all over the place. Illumina. Think about that word. A company called Illumina that does nothing but get into the business of using the CRISPR editing system to change DNA. Here's one called Editas. All they do is they're going to make billions of dollars editing DNA. Okay? British scientists granted permission to genetically modify human embryos. They just got permission to edit it. Can you turbocharge your genes to produce designer babies? Here's another article. Geneticists are concerned that transhumanists will use CRISPR on themselves. Dr. Jekyll, right? The Invisible Man. They all decided to take their own formula. What happened? Okay? I won't read this. It'd take too long. Now watch this. Being born again. So, you were born exactly the way you are right now, right? Your DNA is still intact. They didn't come at you and say, we have a shot that will fix every part of your body. You're still the same way as you were written by God. Okay? If they edit your DNA so that it's carried out into all your genes, and every gene now in your body has a different genetic structure than what you were born with, you are now born again. But not from incorruptible seed. You're born again from corruptible seed. And what happens when you're born again from corruptible seed? You'll die for, if you want, incorruptible, you'll live forever. Corruptible, you'll die forever. The Word, now watch this. Watch this. The Word was God. You believe that? Jehovah's Witness didn't like it. It was an undesirable gene in the Bible that they had. So all they did, Chris Pinto, was add a letter. The Word was a God. They changed the entire Bible by adding that one letter, didn't they? See how it works? So who wants that done to them? Who wants them bringing some other DNA, editing yours, taking the bad stuff out and putting something new in? Who wants that? Okay? Here's another illustration. The Bible says the fourth is like the Son of God. How many of you believe that one? Or a son of the gods. Is there a difference between those two? That's Daniel 3:25. You might want to open your Bible and see what yours says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Or how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. Those two DNA sequences are not the same. Here is what's coming into the church now. How a church can change its DNA. Changing the DNA of the church. Here's another one. How to change the DNA of your church to make it evangelistic. Is it science fiction to change the DNA of your church? How do I change the DNA of our church? Well, hang on a second. Isn't this the DNA of the body of the church? So if you add a letter to John 1:1, the Jehovah's Witness church is not the same as my church. And the difference started with one letter. You think I'm being serious about this? God said, don't edit the Bible. Don't change the words. Don't add or take away. So, the King James says, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The New American Standard and the English Standard Version said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. They're not the same. Here's the Son of God, a son of the gods, a son of the gods. English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, a son of the gods. King James says, God was manifest in the flesh. In New American Standard, he who was revealed. English Standard Version, he was manifested. Who? You say it means the same, prove it. They took one word out and replaced it with another. And you know what? It was easy for these scholars to do that, wasn't it? Micah 5:2, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Who is that? That's this Jesus. This Jesus had an origin. And the ESV says, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. The NIV says, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. It's a different Jesus. It's a different DNA. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The ESV and the New American Standard, they took out of the Word. Took it out. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. New American Standard, in whom we have redemption. They took out through His blood. Luke 4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, but by every word. See, he was quoting Scripture. New American Standard took it out. Man should not live by bread alone, then they ended it. ESV, same thing. It's written, man should not live by bread alone, then they ended it. They took, but by every word of God out. They took it out. Because it was an undesirable gene in the Bible. Who started that, Chris Pinnell? Westcott and who? You go ask that man, he knows a lot more about Westcott and Horton than I do. And he'll tell you, they started it. Because you know what they didn't like the Textus Receptus. They said there was undesirable genes in the TR. Am I right? Am I telling the truth? Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You believe that verse? Say amen. I dare you to find it in any Bible except the King James. They took it out. The undesirable gene. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. They took it out. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You say, well, that doesn't really change anything. One letter. One genetic code. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. They took that verse out. Undesirable. The Scripture was fulfilled which saith he was numbered with the transgressors. They took that out. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's Acts 8:37. NASB, ESV, NIV, Holman Standard. They took their scissors and they cut it out. Undesirable, they said. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. New American Standard, English Standard, Holman Standard, New International Version, today's New International Version, the Message Bible. They took it out. Even though, and they say it's not in the early manuscripts, even though it was in the old Latin Vulgate, 150 A.D., the Peshitta, 150 A.D., Tertullian quoted it. Cyprian quoted it in 258. Priscillian quoted it in 358. Eugenius wrote it in the Confession of Faith in 484. It was there. Somebody a long time ago didn't like it. And they cut it out. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If they can cut out stuff out of your Bible and think nothing of it, they will come at you with their scissors. Because you have undesirable traits. And they will say, why don't you, we can cure your cancer. We can cure your Parkinson's. We can cure your grandmother's Alzheimer's. I think I got it. You've got to, listen, we had a bad death in our church this last week. This man fought and fought and fought and fought until he could fight no more, and he went to heaven, and I'm not over it yet. That was hard. And so they could say, Carl, we can actually cure his leukemia, because we know the gene in his genetic pool that codes for that, so we can take that out and replace it. We wrote some good stuff ourselves. We want to put it in there. We'll do it for free. Don't do it. Because you know what the fourth kingdom is going to do? Daniel chapter 2. You know what they're going to do? They're going to mingle themselves with what? DNA. Don't do it. Choose the real gospel. Be born again of incorruptible seed, not of the corruptible one. Amen.